This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The stories that lead today's show are as follows. Was Apple hacked? We're going to talk about a League of Legends gamer who literally lost his mind and a little bit of entertainment to boot. We're going to talk about a kid's love of aviation, how it got him labeled for potentially being suspected of espionage. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Facebook and fake news notifications, and we're going to talk about investors and their money. Plus, of course, all of the news of the day, all the tech news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1187 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, March 23rd. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Or support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. I want to welcome new listeners to the show. If you're brand new to the podcast, thanks for joining in and checking out the podcast. We've got a great show for you. We do this show both in audio and video, but the most important thing for you to do is get over to geeknewscentral.com. Get on the website, get subscribed to the show. You'll find the ability to do that right in the right-hand column of the website. You'll find a link there to get subscribed to the newsletter as well. It's most important that you get subscribed to the podcast, so that way you'll never furthermore miss a single episode of the show. So take your time, get over to geekandcenter.com. Check out all the great content on the website. Our writers have been busy putting up new content. So lots of stuff to read on the tech side. And of course, with this show produced every Monday and Thursday with a Tuesday and a Friday release. So definitely get over and check it out. If you are so inclined, drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. And you can join our Slack channel by sending me an email asking to join the Slack channel. You can follow on Google Plus or Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or the Apple TV. Listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch review on Blueberry.com, or tell Google Home, okay, and I'm not going to say the word, to play the podcast Geek News Central. So use the command to wake up Google Home and say, okay, beep, to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, Pro Gear Site, putting together by my GNC team. We're going to see a lot more content going up there the closer we get to CES. Of course, this show is largely sponsored by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And they, I'll be honest with you, they keep the lights on, keep the insurance paid, keep fuel in the car, food on the table. You name it, they take care of it because of your generosity in supporting our sponsor throughout the years, and you're continuing to do so. So I want to thank all of you for your ongoing support. And just as a reminder, you can go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All the deals are there, all my promo codes, whether it be 30% off on a new product purchase, a 99-cent.com, a dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain for $12 for the first year, $1 a month of managed WordPress hosting, again, for the first year with a free domain. You can't go wrong in basically saving money at GoDaddy.com and providing all those services that you need to get online and get connected. Again, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Check out all my deals, all my promo codes. Share them with your family, friends, people that you know, coworkers, whatever your circle may be, and tell them to go to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Okay, so let me just talk a little bit here at the beginning of the show. It's just like time is like right now. And I look at the calendar, it's March 23rd. And by the way, happy birthday to my lovely sister. So this is her birthday. So I hope she had a good one. But other than that, upcoming this weekend, got the new media show on Saturday. I was able to get to the gym 3 times this week, so that's great. I'm kind of stuck. I'm kind of like the 206, 207 range. I'm kind of fluctuating and I'm kind of stuck. So I know this kind of happens. So I just have to work through it. But like to get on the other side of 205. That's the goal. Just, you know, trying to watch what I eat and everything else. So we'll see what happens here. But I am going to most definitely try to get to following up with the folks that I've been basically indicated they'd be willing to help me out here on the show and become a support staff for me. So I hope to do that this weekend. But this is soccer weekend here in Honolulu. There's a big tournament going on. My son kicks off tournament play tomorrow, plays Saturday, two games. And then if they do well, move into a bracket on Sunday and maybe a final on Monday if they do really, really well. So I'm going to be back and forth to the soccer field, which is about 20 minutes from here. And, of course, all the things that go along with that, potluck, got to do, you know, tent duty, line duty, all kinds of crazy things that you do when there's a tournament going on. But that's what's going on here. So probably on Monday when I do the show, I'll be a little more red from getting some sun. And, of course, today I get a little bit of a haircut for those of you that are watching. This is called, for those of you that ever want to mimic my look here, this is a skin high with a number 8 on top. All right. So what that results in, very little hair left, at least for a few days. But anyway, I've got a great lineup for you. I want to share with you guys one thing. In my yard, or actually out next to where I park my, where we park our cars, I have a tree. It's called a calamansi tree. And most of you that don't live or haven't been in the tropics before have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. But normally this is best when it's green. It's okay when it's orange. It gets a little sweeter. But if you ever get a chance, if you ever get into Asia or you ever get to Hawaii and you have the opportunity to taste or buy this, and this is pretty sour, but it's got a little citrus taste to it as well. I particularly like them when they're more green, but again, these were on the ground this afternoon and I brought them in, and I definitely usually squeeze them into either a water or iced tea. And so if you ever get out this way, calamansi, or just come by the house and you can pick some up. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. And the tree's been pretty good. It's continually feeding us fruit. All right. I want to talk just about a little bit tonight before we get into the full stack about investors and their money. And this was in regards, and it's tied into a story, but it's also tied into some stuff that's been going on here. If you've been following my Facebook page, you'll know that over the past couple of weeks, I've done very, you know, really early 5 o'clock in the morning type calls with investors, and sometimes late in the afternoon. It's been kind of an interesting time, and it's mostly folks out of both East and West Coast, Silicon Valley. Folks are looking to invest in the podcasting space, and they basically are kind of right now shopping. You know, they're getting their checkbooks ready, and they're going to be writing some checks and investing in some companies. Most of the companies are not looking, most investors are not looking to buy. They're just looking to get a piece of the action, as oftentimes investors do. So, you know, I've had some frank conversations with those types of folks. But will it lead to anything? Who knows? But the best thing about investors and their money is that if you're building a business in your position where you don't have to get too excited. In other words, unless they come with a big, massive check, you know, in some really interesting terms, favorable terms, it's good to be in a position where you can kind of like walk away from a deal, where you're not pressured to make a deal. So it's been fun having those types of calls with these type of folks when you're in a position where you don't have to take their money. And they've all have these levels of business they want you to be at, whether it be at $5 million annually, or if they want you at 3 or 1.5, whatever the number may be, they kind of have their jump in point. They want the business, these types of folks want to be jumping in when you're already established. They're not coming in when you're still at a big risk. They like seeing consistent growth and that kind of stuff. So they're coming in and will bring resources to you. But so for me, those calls have been very good. But today I saw the news, and the news was about SoundCloud. And SoundCloud, if most of you didn't know, have been burning cash. You might as well just take a shovel and throw it in a burning fire pit. That's how fast they've been burning money. They raised $70 million. They announced $70 million in debt funding. So up to this point, they've taken $320 million. So they raised this money today from Kairos Capital, Davidson Technology, and Ares Capital. So Kairos Capital, Davidson Technology, Ares Capital, and the loan was agreed on March 10th. But here's the amazing part. $320 million is how much they are currently in hock for. Well, how much has been invested? SoundCloud is, like I said, been burning money. I think they lost $56 million last year. So this new round comes when they make a statement that is this. Now check this out. Whilst the directors believe that the group will have sufficient funds to continue to meet its liabilities through 31 December 2017, the risk and uncertainties may cause the company to run out of cash earlier than that date and would require the group to raise additional funds which are not currently planned. These matters give rise to a material uncertainty about the group's ability to continue as a growing concern. Now, let's just think about this for a second. Three investing firms just gave a company that lost $12 million in 2013, lost $23 million in 2013, lost $39 million in 2014, lost $51 million in 2015, and loaned them $70 million. They think that they're going to be able to grow their business 2.5 times over growth in 2017. So that means they've got to like make a huge, huge amount of money. This goes to show you that sometimes investment companies, I just question their sanity. And I'd love to read the terms documents on these loans, on how companies like SoundCloud can continue to, and they're hedging they're going to get acquired and there's going to be a big payday. But SoundCloud's value has continued to decline, yet they just borrowed debt funding. And again, they borrowed $70 million. So, you know, I think about that in relation to the conversations I've been having with investors. They're talking about, you know, they're looking at the podcasting space. They're not just looking at me. They're looking at a lot of companies, you know, so I'm just, you know, one of many that they're looking at. And if some investor came to me and said, you know, here's a check for $20 million or $15 million or $10 million. That, you just have no idea the amount of things that we could do. You know, I look at how we budget, and I look at how we've been very, very conservative in our spend, and we've hired as we've been able to afford it, and, you know, add bodies when we can and don't too much put too much at risk. And, you know, maybe that's been a little bit conservative, but I'm still in business and I'm profitable. Right? We dump the money back into the company, but I'm profitable, right? And so when I see, and again, I'm just a small toad in the scheme of things. You know, look at SoundCloud. Obviously, they have a huge base if they're able to command a loan for $70 million. As a small business owner, we funded everything out of our pocket, built the company up, make revenue. And, you know, we went to buy furniture. This is crazy. So, you know, I've got enough money in the bank and just write a check, right? Just run the credit card and the furniture. And it was like $13,000, $14,000. It wasn't a big purchase for office furniture. But, you know, when we moved in our office, we needed new office furniture and we needed, you know, to look, you know, nice. And as a small business, I'm profitable. I've been doing business with a bank for a number of years and carried a significant balance. But when I went to that bank and said, hey, we're going to build our credit a little bit. We'd like to, finance the $13,000 for the office furniture. And we were doing it nothing but just to build up some credit for the company. And they looked at us like we were smoking crack.
Well, if you want $13,000?
And I'm like, have you looked at my bank balance? You know, $13,000 over a 12-month period. How about that?
Well, you know.
You know, and I could have, it pissed me off so bad about the banks. The banks are, boy, they love it when you're using their credit cards and they're collecting interest, and when you hold a balance, because they're using your balance to loan money to people and all that stuff, right? But when you go to them and as a small business and try to get a little small, tiny business loan, tiny, for some office furniture, and they, you think that you're reaching into their pocket, it really set me off from the banking industry, and it showed me how small businesses get literally screwed, even if they're doing a great thing, and they're in there being profitable and wise with their money and not being stupid. Here you've got SoundCloud that is burning cash. I don't think they can shovel it into an incinerator fast enough. And obviously a bank didn't give them $70 million, but the $70 million came from a fund that was funded by rich people who are making investments to try to, you know, see a higher return on their money than the stock market and other places. And they literally have cash to burn. Just think what these small Kairos Capital, Davidson Technology, Ares Capital, what they could do if they came to a little company like mine that spends their money wisely, has a profit motive, and came in, you know, and wrote a check and, you know, invested and took a percentage of the company for someone that's doing good with a reasonable expectation on a return on their investment, right? It shows you how screwed up the entire money market system is. You know, and I will never forgive that bank for,
you want $13,000 to buy office furniture?
You know, and I literally, you know, like, if I could have told the lady to, I think I woulda. You know, so I see this thing with SoundCloud here. And, you know, SoundCloud competes with my company because they offer podcasting services. And you got thousands of podcasters that are over there. They've got a great deal. Very, very cheap hosting. And this company's burning cash left and foot. So what's going to end up happening? what could happen is all of a sudden thousands of podcasters could find themselves high and dry. Well, that'd be good for me when that happens. Well, you know, it's kind of a sad way to gain market share. It really, really is. But I just think about this $70 million in debt funding that these three companies did. It just chaps my ass just a little bit. I think what I should do is that I should hire their money guy. So anyway, I just had to vent on this. Hey, Dennis. Hey, Steve. Hey, Jamie. Thanks for being on. Are we still, make sure we're still live here. I think we are. Now that, you know, what happens with the Mac, and I don't know, do you guys see this too with your Macs, where the browser just like freezes for no unknown reason? It's crazy. It really, really is. And it just drives me crazy with, that's the thing about Macs that irritates me with their browser. Sometimes they just, you know, they sit there and they stutter for 30 seconds. Okay, I'll get off this topic. We'll move on to something more nice and something even more, oh my goodnesses. Hackers are threatening to wipe Apple devices. Now, Apple is saying, nope. This is not, no trouble. We haven't been hacked. And, but hackers have threatened Apple if they didn't pay ransom, they would remotely wipe millions of Apple devices. Apple has come forward and denied that the iCloud and Apple IDs, they say, has not been breached. But it is possible that Apple could settle things behind the scenes, but it appears that something may have been compromised on third-party services. So let's think, you're a Mac user. Let's think about this for a second. You've got a iTunes account. You've got iCloud. You've got your credit card tied in there, right? And they make you go five ways to Sunday to get into the site. Usually you're going in and you're dealing with Apple. You're buying stuff through the Apple store. So you're really not, you know, everything, they've been all about control all these years, right? If you want to sell a magazine, you want to sell an app, you want to sell anything through their ecosystem, it has to go through their payment system where you're using your credit card on Apple. There is no third party that has access, at least up to this point, that I thought had access to my Apple ID and credential information. So how, if this is true, do these hackers have the account information reportedly for millions of Apple devices? Their ransom is, we requested $100,000 for each of our members, which is seven in total, or $1 million worth in iTunes vouchers for instant resale. It's 60% of the original gift card value. So they're trying to get gift cards or something like that to be able to sell on the market. Some private stuff that we agreed not to publicize, that we believe it may ruin what they're calling themselves, the Turkish crime family in Apple relations. The second thing is worth more to us than money. So has the Apple ecosystem, are they the latest to fall? Is this true? Change your password. Just go ahead and change it. It's I know it's a pain because if you got more than one Mac, you have to go through and resync all your machines. And I think I've also found that there's an upper limit to the number of devices and computers you can have on a single account, you know, because I've got three Mac minis, a couple of iPads, a couple of Mac laptops, and they're all kind of, and every once in a while now I'm getting one and saying, hey, you need to put your password in again, and then I'm on another machine and oh, you got to put your password in. So I think I've got one too many devices at this point. If anybody's run into that, I'd love to hear from you. But with that, could the iCloud and Apple ID's been hacked by a third-party service. And I really want to know who's got this, because Apple, you control the ecosystem here. You've been a hard ass all these years and making sure everything goes through your store and you control the process. How is this the case? Tell us that. And those of you that are Mac users, if this is true, those of you need to ask some hard questions. Haven't heard anybody kind of like talking about it too much. Everyone's think they're all still safe. Maybe they are. Maybe this is just someone trying to extort some money when they have nothing. That time will tell. As I've talked about in previous show, my son is a League of Legends player, much to my chagrin. And a few times when he has irritated me and him not doing his chores or whatever may be required of him around the household here, I have unplugged the internet on him. And that scream is always very entertaining to me, to hear him get disconnected between the middle of a game or something to that effect. But when Dad asks politely a couple times and you give him enough time to get out of the game and help with what's supposed to be done, that is a most very, very satisfying way to get their attention when you shut off the internet when they're in the middle of League of Legends game. Well, some dude in China, and I don't know this, if this was a PR stunt, but there's a picture. Apparently his team wasn't doing so good in a League of Legends match. You know, they play as a group, but this guy got so pissed after his match that they lost that he put his head through a monitor. Yes, he literally jammed his head through a monitor. I didn't even know if that was completely possible because of electronics in the monitor, but anyway, some follow-on pictures show them looking at him and then blood on his scalp as they've drug him out, and it looks like some guys that are concerned. This could have been the real deal. I don't know, but this happened in Shanghai. But what a dumbass. And I'm sorry for the foul language tonight, but I'm just like, so I sent this link to my son, and I said, are you going to be the next legend? And he's been using a monitor that I got from Dell as a review unit last year that is very expensive. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to charge you rent, dude, for using that monitor and putting miles on it. And he's like, why? And I told him what it cost originally. And, I don't mind him using it, but it's a little prodding point, right? But can you believe this? Some guy put his head through a monitor. I'm thinking of my monitor here. I'm reaching and I'm touching it. That must have been a pretty cheap monitor to be able to put your head through. Did he pick it up and like smash it on his head or what? I don't know. This may be fake, could be fake news, but at least I got a little revenge, and not revenge, but showing my kid, hey, you are a knucklehead. This could be you. Let's talk just a little bit. Imagine that you are an aviation enthusiast. Now, as a kid, I was, wasn't say I was an enthusiast, but I got my first airplane ride when I was a teenager. And, obviously my career in the Navy led to, working in aviation and flying around and doing cool stuff in the back of P3 aircraft, as we've talked about here in the show before. But, I never sent letters or anything to Boeing or to the Air Force asking for pictures of new airplanes. But back in the 50s, there was a gentleman by the name of Robert Dorr, and he lived the most American patriotic life anyone could. He served in the Air Force. He was a diplomat with the State Department from the 1960s to 1980s, and he went on to be a successful author and TV pundit about military affairs. But as a teenager in the 50s, this guy was investigated by the FBI because they thought he was doing espionage.
His crime as a teenager was writing Boeing and asking for photos of their planes. This gentleman died, unfortunately, in June from a brain tumor at age 76. And, you know, those of us that have spent many hours in the air, did you know that you get a lot more radiation? It's true. The amount of exposure you get when you're flying is more than on the ground. It's a fact. So, you know, we'll probably all of us that spent years in the air will end up with tumors in our head or worse. But anyway, they did a Freedom of Information Act on this guy to get his FBI file. And when he was 14 years old, he wrote multiple letters to companies. And he got attention of the U.S. Department of Justice, the FBI, the Air Force unit that basically does investigations. 23 pages. 23 pages of stuff from this kid basically sending letters to Boeing and to Air Force Command saying, can I get a picture of your base? And can I get a picture? I read about this particular airplane and stuff that he read in the newspaper. He wanted a picture of this stuff. So in the 50s, they were watching this 14-year-old. So imagine now with all the automated systems they have, you sending some email, you may end up on somebody's FBI file too. You know, if something happens to me, I end up, you know, if I depart the scene, in other words, I depart by being put 7 foot under someday. You guys, please, one of you go and do a Freedom of Information Act on me too. See what you can find. But you know, because you know, I'm sure having been active duty and everything else, I'm sure there's a file about that thick. Probably none of it's ever releasable, but I know my military service record was about that, maybe that thick. And I'm showing about an inch and a quarter, inch and a half when I retired. My medical record was about that thick too. But anyway, yeah, kind of funny. Facebook starts warning users. Now listen to this. Facebook is starting to warn U.S. users when they are sharing fake news. We've all talked about Snopes.com on the site, but apparently if the news story has been flagged as potential fake news, they will now do a little pop-up just before you share it saying, hey, not so fast. So if any of you, please, if any of you get this, please, I want to see someone that's in the Ohana that gets that screenshot. And I know none of you will ever share fake news, but let me show you, those of you that are watching, what it's going to look like on the good old face bag here. So let me scroll down. This is an article over in PC World. So what will happen is it'll pop up. Oh, come on. Just as I flip that, PC World threw up an advertisement. Okay, let me try this again. Good timing, PC World. Just got some free advertising on Geek News Central. I'll send you the bill. It says, before you share this content, you might want to know that the fact-checking site Snopes.com, Associated Press, disputed its accuracy. Now, I would more trust Snopes.com than Associated Press in disputing accuracy, but it's basically got a link. It says, about disputed content, you can cancel or you can continue to post anyway. So, kind of interesting what they've done here with the warning they're going to pop up for you now if you try to share fake news. So, where was that about a year ago? A little bit of space news for you tonight. SpaceX has outbid ULA. This makes me laugh. I really love to hear this when the big boys in the marketplace lose a contract or lose a bid to a contract. The Air Force announced that the launches for some advanced military global positioning systems, GPS-3, that they have to put up, you know, periodically, they have to replace satellites. The contract award for a launch in 2019 went to SpaceX for $96.5 million. Don't know what ULA bid, but nice to see ULA getting put on the sidelines a little bit here as SpaceX is bringing the price down of delivering, you know, basically our taxpayer dollars are being saved here because of the efficiency SpaceX has built into their business. Now, they've got 15 more launches or 15 more contracts they have to put out this year. So it'll be interesting to see where this leads. We'll see if SpaceX gets some more of these. If you are a ULE employee, it doesn't spell good for you because they're already doing layoffs and because of these lost launches. All right, the folks that are watching the sun, and a number of folks do, that's their career. This is about the cleanest or clearest the sun has been in a long, long time. The sun is nearly spotless, hitting a solar lull. So no sunspots on the sun's surface were visible during a 15-day stretch. They began on March 7th, despite constant observation by NASA's powerful Solar Dynamic Observatory spacecraft. This is the longest stretch of spotlessness since the last solar minimum in April of 2010, indicating the solar cycle is marching on towards the next minimum, which scientists will predict will occur between 2019 and 2020. So, of course, we know that the sunspot activity is on an 11-year cycle, and someday I'd like to get into the science of figuring that out. But anyway, that's where we're at right now. The Ariane 5 launch that was supposed to happen in Papua New Guinea, or French Guiana, excuse me, was canceled. They've got strikes going on and all kinds of unrest. So basically, Ariane 5 is been put back in the barn, and until they get until Ariane Space gets their workers back, they aren't going to be launching. So it's indefinite delay, and it's gotten to the point where Air France and some others have canceled flights between the capital city because of the countrywide strikes. So they're obviously not happy. They want more money. All right, moms and dads, you ever take your kid's cell phone away? That is almost a punishment worse than death, right? We know that the kids will absolutely flip out if we take their phones away, right? It can end in a just monumental meltdown, but boy, it's really effective in correcting behavior. You know, so my youngest does not have a active cell phone. He uses one of my old ones here in the house on Wi-Fi, but it has no ability to dial out. So he's, you know, kind of halfway there. But anytime I put my hand out and say, give me, he begrudgingly has to give it up for however long I dish out the punishment. But I dare say none of my kids have tried this. A 15-year-old in Elamir, Spain, got very upset when his mother took away his phone. The February 28th incident prompted some displeasure with the teen, who quite naturally then sued his mom. The 15-year-old went and filed a lawsuit against his mother. He demanded she be sent to jail for 9 months, and he asked that she pay his legal costs. Her alleged crime, mistreatment. Now, how many of you believe in, spare the rod, spoil the child? Is that the right way to say that? And my 14-year-old goes to court and then files a lawsuit against me for mistreatment, well, then I think my 14-year-old will find out what mistreatment is really about. I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but, you know, the gall. I don't know if this is a single mom or not, but anyway, on Tuesday, a magistrate heard the case and decided, really unsurprisingly,
to all but perhaps the teen that the mom had acted in a manner entirely consistent with her parental authority. Now, if this had been in California, the mom would have been 6 months in jail. And they had to give up. The social services would have come and got the kid, right? Oh, my goodness. This is where you'd like to, like, judge? Would you like to take my 14-year-old in the back and apply corporal punishment? This isn't. Now, check this out. This isn't the first time. Well, maybe it wasn't her. Yeah, this isn't the first time a teen, this is not the same kid. This isn't the first time a teen has acted uppity toward his or her parents with regards to technology. Who could forget the Austrian teen who last year sued her parents because they posted pictures of her as a child on her potty to Facebook? Yeah, we talked about that. Oh, we're raising a bunch of snowflakes. Oh, and good news for the beer drinkers out there. 2 pints a day keep heart problems at bay. Moderate drinking is good for you, according to a BMG published study. It's found directly contradicting the advice of the UK government, who advised last year there was no safe level of drinking. A daily pint reduces risk of heart attack and angina by a third, a big study of Brits adults has found, while total abstinence increased the risk by 24%. Now, who's BMJ? Is BMJ part of the, were they paid to do a study by the alcohol industry, or who was that? I don't know who BMJ is. But they've got a very impressive study that they have released. When I was younger, 2 beers a day, that probably been right about in line. And now I'm lucky if it's like 2 beers a month. Oh, but you beer drinkers out there, 2 a day, you're okay, all right? And a little humor on the tech side today. Middle Eastern Airline is not super happy with the electronic ban on Twitter. So 12 things to do in a 12-hour flight with no laptop or tablet, put out by Royal Jordanian Airlines. Number 1, read a book. Number 2, enjoy a light snack. Number 3, say hello to the person next to you. Number 4, meditate. Number 5, spend an hour deciding what to watch. Number 6, appreciate the miracle of flight. 7, engage in primitive dialogue from the pre-internet era. Number 8, reclaim territory on an armrest. Number 9, pretend tray table is a keyboard, much to the derangement of your neighbors. Number 10, shop till you drop from the onboard duty free. Number 11, analyze the meaning of life. And number 12, think of a reason why you don't have a laptop or tablet with you. Be smart, be Jordanian, fly Royal Jordanian. So, they are putting out some... and they're reducing prices of tickets. So New York from Jordan went from 803 to 638, I guess, Jordanian dollars or whatever it is. If you want to fly first class, it's down from 2,800 to 2,372. You can check out prices at rj.com. I thought this was only supposed to last 96 hours. Uber, boy, they just can't get themselves out of the news. Uber employees are now supposedly using a secret, Uber management is using as a secret tool to target drivers and undercut competition. We knew about a GodView app they used before, but apparently they've got a new app now that knows when you're driving for Uber and when you're driving for Lyft, and they will try to entice you to drive with Uber more by giving you a little more money on your rides, I guess. They have a way to up the fare amount or something to that effect. But these little sneaky tricks that Uber continues to do, it continues to make me think that I'll be using Lyft a lot more when I'm next time I'm in Vegas or wherever I need to use a car service. Instagram has began blurring some sensitive content open
And it also is open two-factor authentication for all. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've followed a whole bunch of people on Instagram. Never have I seen yet any nasty content. I haven't seen any naked bodies or anything. Snapchat, on the other hand, oh my gosh. What's it up with this generation that just likes to show everything all the time? I that blows me away. But anyway, on Instagram, at least, I haven't seen any sensitive content. Hey, moms and dads out there, if your kids are using Snapchat, you need to be like super monitoring who they're following in stories and stuff. It's pretty like, wow. Instagram blows me away almost on a daily basis. I just shake my head. So be aware out there, okay? What else? U.S. has ordered social media checks for some visa applicants. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has ordered mandatory social media checks on all visa applications from applicants who visited ISIS-controlled regions, according to memos seen by Reuters. This could explain why some visitors to the U.S. have complained about increased demands by customs officials to access phones and passwords for Twitter, Facebook, and other social media accounts. So, well, they're looking a little deeper. And this is about some of this, I guess, maybe extreme vetting that they were talking about. I don't know. How many of you drink wine? This is not a tech article, but if anybody drinks wine, you've had problems with the standard wine bottle dripping, right? Every restaurant I've ever come to where they've uncorked a bottle of wine for us, the guy comes and he always has a, you know, he pours the wine and he has a towel there to wipe the wine bottle off, right? Well, some brilliant genius has developed a new wine bottle that's drip-free. It will no longer drip. I have no idea how they've done this, but expect to see these new wine bottles probably showing up soon. Of course, you know, most of us drink vintage 2016, 2017. So it may be a few years. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show for our UK audience, you know, huge condolences to what happened there in at Parliament and at Westminster. It's crazy. And of course, we lost a US citizen as well. Ironically, with the same last name as me. I had a couple of texts from people. Do you know this Cochrane? I said, no, I don't know him. But just horrific. And but anyway, just for those that are in the UK that are part of the OANA here, I should have mentioned that. And it's good to see that they've found some more people and got them under investigation. But if you are a protester during the Trump inauguration and you were basically one of the violent ones that was arrested, the U.S. government has gotten essentially warrants, and they are going to start cracking your smartphone. More than 100 mobiles will basically be, they're going to open them up, and they're going to look at them. They're going to look at the information that's within them as part of the prosecution of those that were writing and doing, you know, doing violence upon people and property. So this is interesting that they're going to unlock as many of these phones as they can and with through a search warrant go through them. So I know no one in this audience was actually a rioter, but makes you go, just a little bit. So it shows that they're still pretty serious about prosecuting people if they're going to open up their phones and dig through them. But there was 230 rioters that were cuffed on January 20th. A certain subset of those caused over $100,000 in damage. Maybe they're trying to figure out who those individuals exactly were that were causing the damage. A little bit of a weird picture has surfaced, and it's from a SpaceX landing zone. And it gives you a little bit of a... I love seeing pictures like this. And for those of you that are still watching... I'll bring this up, and it's a great article for you to take a look at. But
it shows, it gives you some perspective on the landing pad that their spacecraft or the Falcons land on. And then they've got a capture device there that they load the rocket onto. But it just gives you, you see a lift and this this crazy device that they apparently used to, as a hold down for the rocket to transport it. But what amazes me about this is it's a lot bigger than it looks. The area looks a lot bigger. I didn't expect this landing area to be this big. So, anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. But, oh, there's a bigger picture. Awesome! So, it gives you a little idea here. This is the barge. So very, very cool. Not the actual area for the, on dry ground. This is the actual barge landing pad. So very, very cool. Link will be up in the show notes. You're going to want to check this one out. All right. Okay. Moving on along here, because we've been running along in the last few shows. I want to try to not do that to you. Hey, Alaska Airlines is killing off Virgin America. I didn't even know Alaska Airlines owned Virgin America, but sometime in 2019, a Seattle-based airline acquired Virgin for $2.6 billion last year. A move to increase its presence in California. So they're basically probably bought the gates, yeah? So they're going to be Virgin America is will be shutting down. So if you like flying them, and a lot of people do, bon voyage. FBI is reportedly investigating bots that span Breitbart and InfoWars stories during the election time. As part of the probe into the Russian influence of the 2016 election, the FBI-led investigation is seeking more information on social media bots that span millions of pro-Trump posts from far-right news organizations. And the bots apparently sent out controversial conservative stories such as Breitbart and InfoWars, as well as Russia-backed outlet RT. So a lot of groups are using bots. It wasn't just those three. So, interesting move here by the FBI. Apple just bought the app that once crowned most innovative and made it free for everyone. If you have ever used Workflow, they've bought it. So, Apple's confirmed the acquisition to Business Insider on Wednesday, but did not disclose the price or any of the terms of the deal. Workflow takes a complicated series of tasks that would normally require opening multiple apps and lets user press one button to get the job done. So, anyway, link will be. I've never used this app. I guess I'll have to check it out. Also, a little bit going on in the antivirus world. There's a clever double agent attack turns antivirus into malware. And here's the crazy part. There's a workaround within Microsoft via the Microsoft Application Verifier. That's a tool that verifies an application as authentic when you're installing third-party software. So apparently somehow it spoofs the antivirus. It allows malware of some sort to get in to the computer. As the attack unfolds, it allows malicious codes to become persistent. Since it entered through the legitimate application verifier tool, the researchers say that even measures like a system reboot will not eliminate a double agent attack. And other hackers control the antivirus program. They can manipulate it to execute all sorts of attacks. So the researcher notified the developers of 14 vulnerable antivirus programs. They contacted Avast, AVG, Avira, Bitdefender, Trend Micro, Komodo, ESET, F-Secure, Kaspersky, Malwarebyte, McAfee, Panda, QuickKeel, and Norton. And they say they waited 90 days before publicly disclosing the bug. So far, only Malwarebyte, which I use here, AVG, and Trend Micro have released a patch. There isn't particular evidence so far that the vulnerability has ever been exploited, but it's impossible to know for sure. But now that this has been announced, you can almost be assured something is forthcoming. So keep you advised on this as more patches to this specific issue hopefully gets patched by the antivirus companies. This should come as no surprise. The FCC has voted to let prisons more easily shut down contraband cell phones. In a 3-0 vote, the FCC today opened up options for jails and prisons to more easily use new technology to shut down contraband cell phones in facilities, basically jamming them. Today's order speeds up the authorization process by cutting back on paperwork and also requires wireless carriers to work with the facilities on the use of contraband interdiction systems. It also requests further comment on other technology-based solutions to the problem. And if you live near a prison and you have a mobile device and it doesn't work, you know who to blame. Check this out, though. You guys know Intuit, right? Tax season. Many of you are using Intuit to file your taxes, whether you're doing a 1040 EZ or 1040 or the long form, whenever you're using. Many opt to do your own. But did you know the majority of Intuit lobbying dollars has been spent trying to stop the IRS from making it easier to file your taxes? This should not come as any surprise. Intuit spent more than $2 million lobbying last year, much of it spent on legislation that would permanently bar the government from offering taxpayers pre-filed returns. H&R Block spent $3 million also directing some of their efforts towards the bill. Among 60 co-sponsors of the bipartisan bill, then Congressman and now Human Health Service Secretary Tom Price. Dun, dun, dun. The bill called the Free File Act looks on the surface to be consumer-friendly. It makes permanent a public-private partnership in which 13 private tax preparation companies called the Free File Alliance, have offered free online tax filings to lower and middle-income families. The Free Alliance includes both Intuit and HR Block, but the legislation would also permanently bar the IRS from offering its own free alternatives. Now, let me tell you about these free offerings. If you've done the free taxes through the IRS, you get to the end, you can do the free one. You have to print it and mail it. But if you conveniently want it submitted electronically, you have to pay for the electronic submission. That's how that works. You can do it for free, but you got to print and submit. So next time you're supporting Intuit by giving them dollars, definitely think about this. I gave dollars to my accountant, a big fat check. and he's going to do round two. He's going to do the personal taxes next, which I give to him next week. The Wired is saying, somebody, please, just buy the International Space Station already. Well, apparently it's being talked about. They're actually going to start considering it next year to let someone come in and buy the $60 billion asset that is of the U.S.'s, or $70 billion that the United States has spent on their segments. So, apparently it costs $3 to $4 billion annually to keep the International Space Station running. With NASA's other ambitions, like visiting Mars, it takes about half their budget. So, we'll see what happens here. See if the rich people want to visit. But how many rich people can you cycle through? You know, let's say $1 million, that's just a lot of lifts. You're not going to ever pay for this thing through tourism, that's for sure. Richard Snowden, the traitor, his ex-boss has offered advice on stopping insider threats. This is a good read. This is over in Computer World. And I read through this. Stephen Bay was the supervisor of the defense contractor who now is in Russia, and someday will probably end up with 3 bullets in his head. But recalling the day he learned that Snowden had been behind the NSA leaks, Bay said he received a text about the breaking news while in a leadership meeting at church. The first text said, "Sorry, man, looks like your worst nightmare came true." He said he was crushed. "I went into an empty room of the church and I just melted down crying." He says, "Every negative thought you can have, I had." He said, "I thought I was going to get fired. I thought I was going to go to jail. He thought I'm going to lose my family." So he was worried about the undercover CIA agents that were going to get killed. But he didn't get fired. He was removed from NSA work. But he talks about things to look for by employees and people that are working at your company. Very good article. Very, very good one. All right. Let's see if I can speed this up a little bit here. Don't run you out of time. Congress has voted, yes, you knew this was coming. Congress has voted to kill the consumer broadband privacy protections. Despite a last-ditch effort by the EFF and other consumer privacy groups, Congress today voted to dismantle privacy protections for broadband subscribers in a 50-48 vote. The rules passed last October by the FCC simply required the ISPs clearly disclose what subscriber data is being collected and sold by ISPs. It also required that the ISP provide working opt-out tools and required that consumers had to opt in to the collection of more sensitive data like financial info or browsing histories. Okay, so here's the deal. You need to start calling your cable provider or your internet service provider. And you need to be very vocal about what they're doing with your data. Or you're going to have to start using a VNC. And, you know, so your data is out there now for them to sell. You are the product. You're paying to be spied upon, folks. Can't say that in more stronger terms. You're being paid to be spied upon. NASA is reporting two new breaks in the Curiosity rover wheels. They are getting a little bit concerned. If they have a third break within the wheel, if they lose a third pad, the integrity of one of the wheels could be diminished by as much as 60%. So, you know, the rover's done a great job, but the wheels are obviously probably going to be its demise at some point. But anyway, they will keep you advised of what's going on there. But they've had some punch-throughs. Basically punched all the way through the aluminum, the 0.75 or 0.78 thickness of the aluminum tire. I'm sure this thing's going to go a lot longer and probably will last until the end of the mission. But definitely gives NASA something to think about in the future as they're building new wheels for the next rover. They're going to have to be a little bit beefed up, put a little more strength in them to keep from being abused on the Martian surface. Those of you in the UK, whistleblower is saying that UK police work with hackers to access activist email accounts. So, the police watchdog is investigating allegations the secretive Scotland Yard unit used hackers to illegally access the private emails of hundreds of political campaigners and journalists. The allegation was made by an anonymous individual, says the unit worked with Indian police, who in turn used hackers to illegally obtain the passwords of the email accounts of campaigners and some reporters and press photographers. So, we'll see where this leads. If there's any truth to it, but it's in the news today. Already talked about Instagram's two-factor authentication. Also, there's new documents out from WikiLeaks showing how the CIA hacked iPhones and MacBooks. So there's a discussion about that. I don't have a link to any of the documents, but just to go show you, you Mac users, you haven't been as safe as you think you've been. All right? A little more action going on in Congress. Congress has leaked a draft bill to move the Copyright Office out of the Library of Conference. I think we all knew this was coming, but Representative Bob Goodlatte has been passing around a draft of a bill to move the Copyright Office out of the Library of Conference. Specifically, it would make the head of the Copyright Office the Copyright Register, a presidential appointed position with a 10-year term and who could only be removed by the president. This could be designed to give Hollywood and the recording industry even more power and control over an already deeply captured agency. As it stands now, having the Copyright Office and Library of Congress provides at least some basic recognition of the actual intent of copyright law as established by the Constitution to promote the progress of science. So either way, by making this a presidential appointee, the NPAA, RIAA know that it will give them significant greater say over who leads the office and what they can or cannot do and who they get in there. So a link is up to this. So the House bill, what's the number? There's no House resolution number yet. So again, this is a House representative bill. If you don't think this is a good idea, lots of stuff going on here, folks, that you can get active in if you so desire. Google has taken Symantec to the woodshed for misissuing 30,000 HTTPS certificates. If you have a HTTPS certificate from Symantec, I would advise you to bail out now. In a severe rebuke of one of the biggest suppliers of HTTPS credentials, Google Chrome developers announced plans to drastically restrict transport layer security certificates sold by Symantec-owned issuers. Following discovery, they've issued more than 30,000 certificates. Effective immediately, Chrome plans to stop recognizing the extended validation status of all certificates issued by Symantec-owned certificate authorities. So this is huge. This is huge. More gradually, Google plans to update Chrome to effectively nullify all current valid certificates issued by Symantec-owned CA. With Symantec certificates registered more than 30% of the internet valid certificates by volume 2015, the move is a potential to prevent millions of Chrome users from being able to access large numbers of sites. What more, that Firefox data show that Symantec-issued certificates are responsible for 40% of all certificate validations. So just a heads up, if your organization has a Symantec-issued HTTPS certificate, bail out now. Ever since the notices were sent last week to Kansas City residents about the cancellation of Google Fiber, they're getting a lot of negative press. Lots and lots of negative press. People are not happy with Google in Kansas City. And, you know, they're kind of saying that they may be doing some wireless stuff, but in the high 70 to 86 gigahertz band. But these are all applications that require, like, I mean, line of sight that they have to be looking direct. You know, you can't have a leaf. You can't have a tree limb. I mean, these have to look exactly at each other. The two antennas do, with nary a thing in between to make it work. If you can accomplish that, it'll work great. But Google Fiber is becoming less and less a dream for a lot of people, including me. I just someday, we'll get it someday, but who knows. Apple's exploring using an iPhone iPad to power a laptop. According to the USPTO, Apple's filed a patent for electronic accessory device. It describes a thin accessory that contains additional laptop hardware like a large display, physical keyboard, port, and more. The device pouring the hardware fit into a slot built into an accessory. So basically, they're trying to make the iPad and so forth a computer. So interesting move. All right, the last thing you want to do is be about a bunch of reporters and make fake driving faces. Oh man, and every chance they get, they just let him have it. President Trump was some sort of truck and he was pretending like he was driving. Yeah. And the tweet started off immediately. when you're $2.25 shy of the seamless delivery minimum, when you thought you wouldn't have to stop until the next rest area. I'm Matt Max, not that the character name. I am Speed. The guy in Speed is not called Speed. So it just goes on. Fast and Furious 9. When Thunderstruck comes on, it's just, you know, they go on and on, these pictures of Trump in a truck. Well, at least people are being entertained just a little bit, and that's okay. A little bit of news from coasttocoast.am. A woman has sleepwalked over a mile for a melon in her local grocery store. I told you guys that I swear to God, I think I sleepwalked to the roof of my house one night when I was a kid. It was, you know, the next day it was too vivid and too many things were out of places, and I found stuff on the roof that I had seen the night before. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I sleepwalked down the roof when I was a kid, but this lady walked a mile and a half barefoot. You know, my son, he's, this morning, he had to be at school a little early, so I'm, you know, 7 o'clock, I'm yelling at him, Ray, get up. I said, what time you gotta be at school? And he says, I gotta be at the castle. Castle? Ray, what do you gotta get up? Get up. What time you gotta be at the castle? Oh, don't worry. He says, don't worry, I'm going to be at the castle. I said, I'm saying, what time do you have to be at school in that castle? And he was like in like La La Land for 2 or 3 minutes. When my kid sleeps, he sleeps hard. And then when he wakes up, he's like in outer space somewhere. I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't. I mean, and then he wakes up, he's like, what?
I said, what? So I'm going to start recording it. Also, pretty brave to be vlogging inside North Korea. That's a great way to end up in a prison making little rocks from big rocks. And, but anyway, there's a video of a dude that did some vlogging, some places he probably shouldn't have, but he got away with it. If North Korea continues to take their nuclear testing going on, it may not be a place that you want to be around too much. All right, let me get into a few emails that we've got, and then I'm still a little bit long tonight. I apologize. So I know that there was a comment that came in. Oh, did I? I don't have this. Oh, crap. Let me see if I can. I don't know if Andrew, I never loaded this into the TriCaster. So I may not. Let's see if I can get this in here. I'm going to have to do it the next show. Andrew has a comment about the seizure-inducing GIF. And apologize, I just didn't have it loaded and queued up. So we'll do it on the next show. But thanks for your feedback already. And we'll talk about it on the next go-around. I got an email from Melvin talking about the Chinese where you have to look at the camera to get six squares. And Melvin says six squares is definitely not enough with an exclamation point. That's it. That's all we got for tonight. If you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @GeekNews. Please consider supporting our sponsor. And for those of you who have already, those as you're thinking or contemplating about it, thank you in advance. Got some exciting things coming. We're going to be talking about some updated products by GoDaddy and some special offers coming. So that is down the road. But we'll be here shortly. For any of you that were, let me see, did we have any people on YouTube tonight? I know we had some folks on Facebook, and those of you that are on, oh man, the YouTube stream was crap. So apologize about YouTube. But anyway, everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you on the next go-round of the Geek News Center podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.